Hi, everybody. Jack from Radio Laurier here. Now, the federal election coming up, we are sitting down and talking to some of the Waterloo Riding MP candidates. Today, we're talking to Val Niekman. Val Niekman has lived in Waterloo for 15 years. He currently works as the owner of Niekwear Inc. And he believes that a thriving nation is built upon the active involvement of its people. How are you doing today, Val?
Not bad, not bad. My name is Val Niekman. And there is a correction that I have to do.
Oh, yes.
Some of that 15 years that you mentioned was in Waterloo, but I'm 15 years in Waterloo riding. I got to make sure that I put that on my website, and my website, because until a few months ago, Waterloo riding had a little bit of Kitchener as well, Kiwanis Park, and Bridgeport. So Willwich, I'm the I'm on the right side, east, so that is part of Kitchener. That's the new house that I bought. And then one on the left, which is Waterloo, is proper city of Waterloo. As of April, they changed the boundaries.
That's right, yes.
So I've lived for 15 years in the Waterloo riding. Let me just put it that way. But I send my kids to Empire School in Waterloo, MacGregor in Waterloo, and then Blue Veil. We wanted to do that, but they didn't have French immersion that we wanted, so send it to KCI.
Yeah,
but the kids go to Rim Park 6 a.m. Used to, now they're grown up, and to Waterloo Complex. So Waterloo is my town. I've hired many people from Waterloo University. And so this is where, for the past 15 years, I've raised my family.
Yeah, it's great to hear.
Of course.
Glad to hear it. First things first, I just want to hear in your own words, why did you choose to run for MP?
I was in one of the... one of the posts I put built in Persia, the current name is Iran. I didn't put Iran because everybody says Iran and like iPod, iPhone, and I'm just getting tired of it. So I put the old name. So built in Persia, made in Canada. When I was young, unfortunately, the country was lost to fanatics. And then being born in a non-Muslim family, we had to flee. And my parents, they were really trying to send every kid to a different direction. And the luck of the draw, I came to Canada, started at the, in high school, ESL, grade 10, math grade 11, physics grade 12. I finished my high school, did OAC. Good old days, we had 13 years. I finished that in Scarborough, Stephen Leacock. And then I went to University of Carleton University in Ottawa. And I'm going to tell you the rest as the story unfolds.
Awesome.
So when I came to Canada, I saw a Canada that I fell in love with. And I came as a young man or a young boy on the verge of becoming a man and didn't have anybody. And I had $100 to my name. February 2nd, didn't even have proper clothing for minus 40 degrees. Canadian took me in, you could say adopted me, raised me, showed me how to speak the language because I didn't speak English, and showed me the way. And then from their taxes, they provided OSAP. I went to university, got myself a degree, and everything that I've got is because of the generosity and kindness of Canadians. And right now, since I've lost one country already, vividly remember the signs of losing a country. And right now, history is rhyming. And for that reason, I've paused everything and I've stepped forward. Because Waterloo needs a person with capabilities and technical background and experience that I've got. Mind you, it's a narrow field of technology. But I've learned what not to do. I've been around the sun for 56 times. I'm 56 now, which means at least I've learned what not to do in most parts in my field. And I'm not going to go there and play a lawyer in the House of Commons. I'm going to go to take their vision and convert it to action. That's why I said, you know what? For the past 10 years, the great people of Waterloo have given the responsibility to a person whose background doesn't match the requirement of this technology and academic city. And my background is perfect. I've hired many students from University of Waterloo. And my company, registered in Waterloo, mind you, it's virtual. I've got what it takes to go there. And I say, next prime minister, whoever you might be, if you need an AI company, if you need to put Canada in the forefront of AI technology, which both leaders, you know, front-running leaders, they talk AI, 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 and I don't believe they know what they're talking about. But when I go there, I will be the person that takes their vision into action so we do not fall behind this technology. We need the tools of today to build the future of tomorrow. With yesterday's tool, we're going to fall behind. If we fall behind, we're going to be poor. And a poor person cannot be charitable. And we're going to be kicked out of G7. Nobody's going to listen to Canada. And we will lose our status. That's why I'm stepping forward, because history rhymes. Because of losing one country, I have the vivid memory. And I want to make sure that I don't lose the second one. That is the reason that I'm running.
Very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Of course.
Appreciate it. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the intro, but you are running as an independent candidate.
True.
Do you have a choice of who you would like to see be the next prime minister?
Of course I do. I looked and I noticed that Pierre Poilievre had messages. They were great. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, in the past, I've been a member of the Liberal Party when I was younger. And I've been a member of the Conservative Party as well. I stepped up and became the president of the Association of the Conservative Party here in Waterloo, because they lost three times back to back to back to Bardish Chaker, honorable Bardish Chaker. And so everybody was demoted, demotivated, and they left. And the association didn't have anybody to file their financial record. Election Canada doesn't have any mercy when it comes to financial record, because they want to make sure that there is no foreign influence and meddling when it comes to donation. But nobody was there to follow through and file those. And I said, you know, do I want this responsibility? Everybody left, PayPal account deleted, and nothing was left beside one bank account. Wow. And I told myself, Val, if you want to run to be the candidate, you have to sort out this financial issue. If you can't even take care of a tiny financial issue here, you don't deserve to go to Ottawa. It took me 2 months full time. Called TD Bank hundreds of times, called people to find their addresses, crossed all the T's, dotted every single I, went, sent it through the auditor, 3 weeks with the auditor back and forth, and I filed that report, but I had to go in front of a judge, Election Canada judge. So I say, you know what, instead of doing that, I'm going to send a heartfelt letter. I said, look, everybody's come and gone. There's no record. I've done my best. Auditor is happy with it. Hopefully I don't have to physically come in front of you. And the judge, whoever received that letter, accepted it, and we're in good shape. We had enough money for the election. Everything was good. And I was hoping that, hey, you know, when they call the election, my name comes up, and then I run. But unfortunately, on March 23rd, my birthday, kids took me to a restaurant. At noon, I rushed back because Carney was calling an election. Waited for somebody to call me and say, Val, we need you. Move forward. You've been the president. You know the city and the association inside out. That didn't happen. I, like everybody else, got an email. And they said, welcome your new conservative candidate, Wassim Boutros from Mississauga. He's not even from here.
Wow.
He cannot even probably say Weber Street. He probably reads it at Weber. So what should I do? I said, you know what? It is fine. I'm going to take one for the team. Send my letter out, final letter, farewell. And one of my supporters sent it to the record. And then they wrote a story about it. And then a lot of people figured it out. And then I had my phone calling nonstop. Emails came in. Val, you have to stay. We need you, and run. Go independent. So I talked to my wife, to my kids, and I said, look, you've come so far. You want to do this for you and for the country. Forget about the party. And then once you're elected, just help the best prime minister. Whoever is there, if whatever decision they make is good for Canada, go with them. If it's not good for Canada, slow him down. That was the reason I decided to go independent.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well said. And in Waterloo, what do you think is the biggest issue facing Waterloo right now? And if elected, how would you address it?
Right now, the biggest issue that we've got right now in Waterloo, to me, I'm going to start from high and come down based on my experience. I hired a lot of students from Waterloo, trained them, and then when they are leaving, you know, they show up as co-op and they show up as intern. When they're about to go back and finish their final semesters, I told them, I'd like to have you back. But if you cannot come back because Apple of the world, OpenAI of the world, they want you and you want to go there, it's fine. Take the teaching that I've passed on to you, more than technology, humanity, compassion, empathy, and everything, and the workmanship. Take it to those companies and cross-pollinate. If you do that, you've paid it forward, and I'm happy with you. I've got students that they still call me. They work for TikTok. They're millionaires.
Wow.
They work for Facebook. They're millionaires. They still call me, hey, Val, what's up? I'm buying my third house. Should I mortgage it? Should I do this? And they still reach out to me. Why? Because the trust that I established between me and them, they know I would not give them advice unless it's good for them. And if I don't know it, I'd like to say mature enough or experienced enough to say that I don't know. Let me research it for you. Luckily with AI, it's really easy these days to research and summarize it and tell them the information.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. And
so technology, if I wanted to summarize it, our body, heart is doing one thing, brain is doing one thing, lungs are doing. Waterloo is the tech hub. We get the best students here, train them, they become AR researchers, best software developers, best of everything. And then just to lose them to Americans so they could create ChatGPT. What if tomorrow Trump says, we're going to ban Canada and they're not going to be able to use our AI? Which data center do I have? Which AI interface that I have to say, hey, you know what? We're going to use our own. Both prime minister-to-be, they're saying AI, AI, AI. But Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, but 25% tariff on computers. You students, you need computers. Tell me the last computer you bought and it was made in Canada. Tell me the last graphic card that you bought that was made in Canada. Tell me the H100 that everybody's using for their data center for the AI engines are made in Canada. They're made by NVIDIA. So we make sure that, look, Waterloo is that tech engine. We got to use it, create the tools, spread it throughout the country. So everybody uses the tool that is built, made in Canada by Waterloo. We have everything that is required. We could have a data center here. Everybody that graduates, I could make sure that they find a job locally. And the next ChatGPT or better, it's going to be made in Waterloo of Canada. That is my main mission. Of course, so many other things that I could help with.
Mm-hmm. I see. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I want to ask about some of the points on your website. On your website, you list your key objectives and your key priorities. The first one is you talk about ensuring affordability for Canadian families. Specifically, what do you think needs to be focused on the most? And then how will that be accomplished, making it more affordable?
They say charity starts from home. So we have to be rich enough to be charitable. That's one thing. The other one that they say, these are old saying, right? They say that if you built it, they will come. So have these two in mind. If you built it, they will come. Now, imagine that I'm an immigration minister. And I read that in reverse. If I let them come, I built it. And then I opened the gate, I let 4.5 million temp workers, foreign students that we don't really need in this country show up. And my name is Sean Fraser, Minister of Immigration. And then when I screw that up, I change my title to Minister of Housing. Now I want to go and build it. In logical sense, our forefathers, the wise men, they said, if you build it, they will come. And they, the Liberal Party, they totally screwed this up. So we have to make sure we control the immigration, because unless we stop the bleeding, we're not going to be able to build houses. If not enough houses are built for the population that we've got, then they're not going to be affordable. But I've got one idea that I ran it when I ran for mayor that I believe we should start with that. Right now, if you want to finish your basement unit, you have to go through so many rules and regulation by the cities, Kitchener, Waterloo, to finish it. A lot of people turn it into a recreational place. Don't finish the ceilings and stuff. What if both cities, starting from here, Waterloo goes, you know, I'm the mayor of Waterloo, and for the next 4 years, you finish your basement, just come here, tell us what are you doing, and then we're going to stamp it. And we will not increase the price of your house. Therefore, your property tax is not going to go up for the 4 years, provided that A, your kids live in it. B, you rent it out. Don't finish it and turn it into an entertainment center. If you do that, every household, at least one third of them, they've got unfinished basements. You know how many people we could house? Sometimes you got to shoot straight. Sometimes you got to look under your nose to see what's available to you. Do not dream too big. Do not work about, I mean, think about dinner if you haven't had breakfast yet. That's what I'm saying. Those basement units, I could turn them into livable spaces for a lot of people. We start from Waterloo, build a blueprint, and then tell the rest of Canada, this is what we have done. Of course, you have to build new homes and do everything. You see, it's just not one-pronged approach. Stop the bleeding immigration, and then finish the basements, make the permits easier so everybody could, like whoever that they're building the new homes, they could easily build them. Of course, we have to be very sensitive with the sensitive environmental issue as well. If there is one butterfly, one tiny frog, that you can't find it anywhere else in the world, we have to be sensitive. We can't just say permit, build, because we don't care. I want to take care of everything, not just one thing, and miss out on the other thing.
So that ties as well into your plan of sort of a Canada first immigration policy?
Yes, of course. What I say is I want the people that we bring in to know how to swing hammers and build your next home instead of just pouring coffee for you. Now I'm going to tell you why. Because if you show up here and you don't have proper skills and the only thing that you could do is pour coffee for me, you as a person, you have a requirement. One unit of housing, one unit of healthcare, one unit of highway, road and stuff, one unit of everything. Now, if the value proposition is not there, the value proposition is what you contribute to the society is not enough to cover the draw on the society, we keep getting poorer and the quality of life goes down. What I'm saying, pause immigration so nobody else comes in, and then make the immigration such that we bring the best of the best of the best from all around the world to come here to help us progress, not to slow us down. We need doctors. We need nurses. We need cabinet makers. We need carpenters. We need electricians. We need all of these people and skills. So we have to be very careful. Just pouring coffee is not enough for somebody to come to Canada. I wish I could help all the youth between 18 and 22 years old that they come from a certain country, but there are 200 million of them because that country has 1.3 billion people. So I cannot help everybody. So charity starts from home. I'm going to take care of Canada first, starting with Waterloo. And then once we are really well off, and then we say, hey, you know, we're charitable. We're going to come and build a university for you. You don't have to come and pretend that you study here for one semester, and then you know that you don't have the money, and then you leave Conestoga College and go to Thunder Bay and start pouring coffee. That is not right. It's not for them because we sold them a dream. Some bad agent sold them a dream. They came to Canada, and now they don't have the dream that they had has turned into a nightmare because now they have to rent a bed for 8 hours. So that's one third of their income. And then one third of the income to eat and sleep, and one third of the income to send to China, to India. Because the parents, the uncles, they got together, they raised the money for this kid to come here, become a doctor, become an engineer. And the parents, they say, "Ooh, my daughter is in Canada becoming an engineer." But that didn't happen. So the money that they promised that is coming to Canada because of education and foreign students, actually we're losing money on them. As simple as that. I've tried to research this to understand exactly what's going on before I speak about it. So that's unfortunately a sad case. 4.5 million is just too much. A country of 35 million cannot handle that many guests. Just, we cannot. And I'm going to have a solid example for you. When time comes, let me know and I will give you that example. Do you want me to give
it? Yeah, why not? Right. Yeah, I'll take it.
Imagine my wife's name is Kathy. She's working. And then I'm at home. We just finished the deck, bought a nice barbecue. She calls me, "Val, I'm inviting 10 of my coworkers coming for the first grand barbecue." And I say, "Yes." And then by mistake, she presses send to 100 people, not knowing. We come home, we buy food, grocery and everything. We prepare barbecue for 10 people and 100 people show up. Our house doesn't have the room for it. We don't have proper food. We don't have proper cutlery. We don't have nothing. The first 10 guests that they were our friends, they're going to have a very bad experience. And the 90 others that they came for the hope of a nice barbecue, they're going to go home empty-handed, and it's going to be a lose, lose, lose. Just take that and map it to the immigration. A lot of people, a lot of young people, my heart goes out to them because somebody, some bad agent, goes to a village in India and sold a dream to them. But in reality, they were just a number in somebody's grand scheme of games. So we have to look to see where the problem is. When I said we have to stop the bleeding, this is the bleeding. We've got companies here in Kitchener that they do nothing but bring in people in and then they hire rogue agents. And even Prime Minister Trudeau came here and shook their hands and gave him, "Ooh, great for bringing all these people in." Don't sell fake dream to people, to young kids, no matter which country they're from. Do not crush somebody's dream. So that is why I stopped the bleeding first. Make Canada strong again. And then charity starts, empathy starts, compassion starts. We have to take care of our own first.
I see. Yeah. And one of your other points is you say sort of championing family values in every aspect of life. Curious what you could you talk about what you mean by family values, and then how does one champion them through everyday life?
So family value, of course, this is my motto. Many origins, one people, one nation, one shared destiny. As you see, I'm staying away from diversity, equity, inclusion, because the terms have been so overloaded. The moment you say it, you lose half the country. But I want to bring people together. I just use the same thing, but I use different words. Many origins, one people, because we're all Canadian. If we're not, anybody who doesn't want to be a Canadian, please leave. This is Canada. If you came here to be a Canadian, then you're in. I'm going to take care of you. Many origins, one people, one nation, one shared destiny. So since many origins and each origins, the family value is different. And I cannot go there and say, "Oh, I'm gonna take care of your family values." I fall back on one common denominator of all humanity, human right. Human right is common. Family value starts from there. No matter what good practices you had back home, you bring it here. We share it with you. We celebrate it. If you had something that you should have left it behind when you came here, please leave it behind, because that just doesn't go with humanity. So you see, I fall back on the common denominator of humanity. Everything is gauged with that. And then you mix it with compassion and stuff. You don't want to send your kids to a school that is going to teach them something that you don't believe in. And what you believe in is not bad. It matches humanity, but not the way that you wanted it. That's how I say family values. All families, they're not equal. But we have a shared destiny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Interesting. We've already talked a little bit about sort of housing. When in the conversation around housing, hand-in-hand with that goes conversation around homelessness. And one of the big debated topics right now is the idea of safe injection sites. I'm curious of if there is room for safe injection sites in your plan for Waterloo.
Absolutely not. I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment they say, I tell the young kids, I tell my kids, make the mistakes you could recover from. But learn from somebody else's mistake that you cannot recover from. So we just have to look at Vancouver. We don't need to go too far. We got to look at San Francisco. I lived in Alameda, stone throw away from San Francisco for 2 years, 99 to 2001. San Francisco was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Try to go to San Francisco and park your car on the side of the road. Go to Vancouver. They have safe injection sites. See what happened. When you put a limit, hey, you know, if you have this much of whatever drug for your personal use, you're okay. Do you know what the drug dealers will do? They say, okay, I'm going to, let's say 1 gram of drug A that is really potent.
Mm-hmm.
I take 1 gram, come out, look around, sell it, and then go back, take another 1 gram, mm-hmm. and then come back and sell it. And of course, the person that is taking it has 1 gram. There's nothing illegal about it. It's going to go to the safe sites. It's going to get the kit. Boom. Mm-hmm. And then you end up losing our young ones. Thousands of them. So what I'm saying is, instead of not, you don't have to experience everything firsthand. Just look at Vancouver. If it worked out for them, then take the blueprint. But it's not working out for them. Mm-hmm. Of course I'm not for it. My heart goes out to the people. Trust me, I ran for a mayor of Kitchener. Because mm-hmm. I was driving with my son and on Weber and University, I saw the homeless. Mm-hmm. And I said, John, my son, he's 20 now. I said, I got to do something about it. Mm-hmm. Ran for mayor. Unseating mayor in Kitchener is impossible. I can't even put my signs on the side of the road. Speaking of, speech and mm-hmm. impression or whatever, freedom of impression and speech non-existing in the city. I can't put my signs on the side of the road. So, of course, the incumbent is going to have, advantage over me. Everybody knows the incumbent idea. But I didn't, whenever I engage in something, I'm just 100% in. I pushed the mayor enough on all these issues we had debate that he had to call his friend Justin Trudeau twice in 28 days to come here and do a photo op with him. I didn't win, but I did that. So, and then I went there to the homeless. They were living in a tent, talked to them. Some, they couldn't lift their heads to talk to me because they were under influence. Mm-hmm. Now give them the free of everything and make it legal of 1 gram or 2 grams or whatever. They're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. What I'm saying is take care of those who need help the most and prevent the rest to fall into the same trap. That's how I finish it. I'm an engineer. First, the one thing that I tell all the students that I hire, new grads, 80% of the solution is understanding the problem. Mm-hmm. If you don't even understand the problem, there's no way in hell that you're going to fix it. So wrap your head around it, understand the problem, dissect it, and then create two solutions, not one. A and B, and then run it with the stakeholders, whoever they might be. Mm-hmm. Hopefully smarter than, I look at people smarter than me. Mm-hmm. And then I look and say, hey, A and B, and then we take one and move forward with it 100%. We know if it doesn't work out, we had a B plan. Mm-hmm. That's in engineering, that's how I approach it. And I will apply the same thing to drug issues, whether buy and sell or fall into the hole of, or the trap of, or the black hole of being a user of it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Get that. Yeah, and so you've made a few videos
for
your campaign. One of the videos was an AI-generated podcast.
Yes.
With two people talking to each other about your platform. What do you say to those who are very anti-generative AI, saying it's bad for the environment, it's stealing jobs? What do you say to them?
I'm going to talk to my daughter now. Mm-hmm. My daughter finished her degree from Conestoga College, animation.
Oh, yeah.
When she graduated, ChatGPT mm-hmm. came out. Mm-hmm. She was doing storybook cover. She did a gig here, a gig there, and then they all disappear. Mm-hmm. Because instead of coming and paying her to take 2 weeks to do something, mm-hmm. you go on Midjourney, you say, blah, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. You get four versions of it and then say, okay, take the third one, move it around. Mm-hmm. So she goes, I tell my daughter, Danya, learn AI. Learn the tool. And she goes, no, this tool took away my job. I just don't like it. Artists, they don't like it, and I don't want to be an outcast. I tell people, starting from my daughter, the moment that they brought the first car in, all the buggies and horses and in San Francisco, they hated it. Ford apparently created the first commercial car. They said, no, we don't want it. So change is hard, but the technology of tomorrow is the AI. I understand there's going to be a hardship. Some people, they're going to lose their job. We have to retrain them quickly. But imagine that you wanted to do something that it took 8 hours, and it's doing it in 2 seconds. If you're pro-environment, just think about it. Just think about it. How much of an environmental whatever that we save? 8 hours, you hire somebody to sit there in front of a computer, burns electricity, generates heat. Mm-hmm. And then that heat, somebody burns gas or nuclear reactors or whatever. The energy has mm-hmm. to come from somewhere. And that is going to have a footprint on the environment. Instead of 8 hours, somebody sit there and do it with the footprint this big, it's going to get done in 1 second. It's going to be hard during the transition, but we have to cherish this new technology. Cherish it. Not accept it, not tolerate it, cherish it. Because it makes humanity and the experience that we've got way better. Change is difficult. People like me that we're a little bit older, we resist change. But you young people, you should run towards it. You are the element of change. You know, the young people, they want to try things, break things in the name of progress. Mm-hmm. The older people, they want to retain and conserve, preserve what they've built for the sake of stability. Mm-hmm. Neither are good. Because if we break everything, we never achieve success. Mm-hmm. If we hang on to what we got for the sake of stability, we never progress. Young and old, two mindsets. Both are valid. We got to meet somewhere in the middle. We have to meet somewhere in the middle. That's what I'm saying with regards to the AI. It's a must. Mm-hmm. Canada, we fall behind. We're not going to catch up anymore. We will not catch up because you've seen from ChatGPT, the first version, mm-hmm. now anything you want, it's done.
Yeah.
It is evolving so fast, we should not, we cannot afford falling behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And my last kind of prepared question is big one, but also a simple one. Just simply, why should people vote for you?
I think one great guy, I'm not going to mention his name, just Google it or AI it. Mm-hmm. If you do the same thing over and over and accept a different result, that is called insanity. If you get a member of parliament elected 3 times in a row, and then somebody honorable, because, you know, when you become a minister, you're honorable, when you're, since she's a public figure, I'm going to mention her name, Honorable Bardis Chager of the Liberals. You vote for her three times. And then her experience before that was executive assistant to another person. And then with zero qualification for being a minister for the whole country. And then all of a sudden for gender equality, gender balance, or whatever reason. I'm not Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He had a reason. And then you bring somebody that doesn't have the experience besides taking a few calls and handling a few folders. And then you say you are the minister of the whole country. Here's the signature. Go sign $1 billion charity to We Charity. And then this person has no ability, highly unlikely knows how many zeros are in $1 billion or when the money comes from. Is it printed? Is it borrowed? Is it borrowed in US dollars? Where is the money come from? And then you give the power of signature to a person like that. And then they write the check. Do you know how many people in Canada, they have to work, pay taxes? So we end up with $1 billion that you pay to two guys that wine and dine Prime Minister's wife and mother. So you do it once. That's what I say. You fool me once. Shame on you. You fool me twice and tries, if that there's a word, then don't expect miracles. You have to step forward. You got to say, hey, what I've done doesn't work. We got to pick a person that is matched for the city. Look, if you go to a fishery city, send your best fisher to the parliament. If you're in agriculture, send the best wheat grower. In Canada, you have to send your best tech guy, of course, from the candidates. Not everybody wants to run. I've stepped forward. I've done my part. She's been there for 10 years. Anything she wanted to do, she's done it already. The good thing about her, that there's nothing to wait for. She's done it all. So are you happy? Do not run after a color of a party flag, please. If you do that, we will lose this cherished country. Because the country will get poor, because we send people that they're not capable to Ottawa. They don't know what to do. And then some maniac from down south that is not predictable, every day changes the rule. And these guys that you send there, they don't have the capability to adapt, to pivot. They're going to be dumbfounded. And we're going to lose the country because a poor country cannot defend itself. We cannot buy the military gears we need for North. We lose it. Submarines from other countries, they're already under the ice. We cannot be charitable. We're not going to have the GDP, so they're going to kick us out of G7. So we're not going to matter throughout the world. We're going to be a big, big, huge dot that somebody wants to take as the 51st state. And I hate that. But I will warn you, if you want Canada to remain sovereign and independent and powerful, you have to send smart people to Ottawa. Do not send me to Ottawa because what I carry between my legs, gender. Send me to Ottawa because what I carry between my ears, the power of my brain, hopefully I have some. If you do that, I do promise, even though they say, don't listen to politicians' promise, since I'm not elected, I'm not officially a politician. So I will promise you this, day and night, I will work for Canada. I'm nobody's servant, but I will serve this great nation because this nation adopted me when I needed a country the most. I thank you.
And like I said, that was my last prepared question. Yeah. Is there anything that we didn't quite get to talk about that you wanted to go over?
Yesterday, I got an email from a grade sevener. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name, and then goes, hey, found your website, and I want to see what's your platform. Mm-hmm. Whatever that I told you right now, I kind of brought it down to a grade 7 level, mm-hmm. and I transmitted that to her. What I say, it's going to remain one copy. I just have to water it down for the younger folks. And spice it up for the older folks. one copy, I figured out that I only speak one official language. Even as a humor, you got to know if I become a politician, I could only lie to you in one language. That is 50% better than all those bilinguals, politicians. You need an engineer. You need a doctor. You need craftsmen. You need a lot of people go to Ottawa, not just lawyers and career politicians. Don't worry about who's going to be the prime minister. Steve Jobs says, they ask him, they say, hey, how did you create this Apple so efficient? He goes, the first people that I hired the A level, A grade. Mm-hmm. They cannot tolerate B grade and C grade. So they only go after A grade. This is so explain more. They say if I hired a B grade, the B grade would never hire A grade because they're afraid they lose their job to it. So they go hire a C grade. And then before you know it, you end up with incompetent, lousy people that they're not qualified to do the job. So what I'm saying is, don't worry about the party politics. Don't worry about color of the flag of the party. Don't worry about their logo. Don't worry about nothing. Just go after the right person for your city. If 343 ridings in Canada, they get together, go colorblind. Don't look at any colors anymore. Say independent, left, right, blue, red, whatever. We don't care. We're going to send our best and best and best, the A players, to Ottawa. You know what happens? Those A players, they will never, ever put up with a B player prime minister. Therefore, we're going to have a prime minister who's going to be capable. The decision is yours. Run to a party and say, oh, you know, I'm going to stay with party line. Or send your best candidate to Ottawa. Know that that best candidate is going to hang out with the other best candidates. They're going to form a group, and together they're going to figure out the problems. And once you know the problems, 80% of the solution presents itself. That is my message to the great people of Waterloo and the amazing students, the youth. I always say, you are my future, but I'm here for you today and now. I believe in your intention. Your heart is in a good place. What you need to do is a little bit of action. Step forward. Help us. We're getting older. You're younger. Come and meet me in the middle. Please vote. But if you don't want to think about anything, you just want to run after the color of a party and vote, I recommend you just stay home. Because you have to vote smart or we're going to lose our country. I'm going to warn you again, guys. I've lost one country. I know it feels awful. I'm not willing to lose the second one. And I warn you, kindly, politely, come out, vote for the best person. If you figure out for whatever reason I'm not the best person, do not vote for me. You have to vote for the best person for Waterloo. Don't worry about Toronto. Don't worry about Quebec City. Don't worry about Vancouver. Waterloo is a tech hub, academic, and this is the heart when it comes to the future of Canada. This is the heart of it. I thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Fala, it was great talking to you. We want to remind everybody that advanced voting opens on April 18th and closes on April 21st, and the actual election day is April 28th. To find out more about where you can vote, how you can vote, and who you can vote for, please go to elections.on.ca. Once again, thank you for talking to us today, Val.
Yep.
And, of course, you could find more information about me. Mm-hmm. Just search Val Nickman on Google. My name will come up. Or val4waterloo.ca. It's all alpha. val4waterloo.ca. If you want to watch my video, val4waterloo.ca/videos, you could find me on those platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for...
And I know one last thing.
Yep.
Can you confirm that I don't have any notes in front of me?
I can confirm.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because I believe that what comes from one heart, if it's genuine, mm-hmm. is bound to land on others. That's why I've done my study. I've done my homework. I speak from my heart and my experience. I don't need any notes in front of me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening.